Coming up on today's show.
You know, it's one thing to go out there on the field and play together, but when you're bonded by the Lord, it's just so much greater, and you really do feel the difference.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of the show comes out. Social media is Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the name of the Facebook group. Its members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. Below my picture, near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net, there is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Tap or click on that to get taken there. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. When athletes say, "This award is not about me, I could not do this without my teammates," is that statement made because it sounds good, or are they actually speaking from the heart? The moment that a player, regardless of the sport, makes it about themselves, the chances of failure go up. You have probably heard the expression, say, in basketball, for example, that there is only one ball. In a sport like hockey, a player gets looked upon favorably when instead of shooting, they pass the puck so as to set up someone else for success, meaning scoring a goal. We can learn a lesson from this for how to approach our everyday lives. Are we setting up our family members or even our coworkers to succeed, hopefully? Or are we taking the look at me approach and putting ourselves first instead? Jesus himself set the perfect example for us to follow. In the New Testament, we read in the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 45, quote, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest just won a national championship last month as a member of the University of Tampa men's lacrosse team, leading the team in the overtime win against Adelphi with 4 goals plus adding 1 assist. He appeared in all 23 of his team's games in 2026, finishing 2nd on the team with 59 points, with his 40 goals being tied for the 2nd most on the Spartans. This season, he earned USILA All-American Honorable Mention and USILA All-South Region Honorable Mention honors, in addition to being named to the Sunshine State Conference All-Championship Team and 2026 Second Team All-SSC. He has 1 more year left at UTampa after having played lacrosse in high school. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Rex Kesselring.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Rex. I've been looking forward to this. Let's get started by having you share with us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Yeah, I am born and raised in Rochester, New York, specifically Pittsford, and I am the youngest. I have 2 older sisters.
Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Kesselring household when you were a young boy, including any Catholic education you received.
Yeah, so it's always been a prevalent aspect in our lives, born into a Catholic family. Going back, my mom was also born and raised in Pittsford, where she and all of her siblings attended St. Louis Elementary, Catholic elementary school, and me and my sisters both followed in those footsteps. So we all attended Catholic school from, preschool until fifth grade. My sister's sixth grade. So yeah, it was a big part of our life. Attending mass and obviously being in that elementary school as a young kid, you're surrounded by the Catholic faith. And once we took the route to public school, definitely, you're not surrounded by it 24/7, but the faith never shied away. We've always been very prevalent in our faith and, attended mass as a family, stuff like that. It's always been a big part of our household.
We heard that you are from Pittsford. Audience, I'm saying Pittsford, New York, which is the Rochester area, as Rex said. It's a big lacrosse area, but still, though, Rex, how did you get into lacrosse? When did you get into lacrosse? And did you play any other sports when you were younger?
Yeah, I was born into a lacrosse family. My dad is one of five brothers. He's from Syracuse, New York, and he coached and played all throughout his career up to the collegiate level. He won two national championships, one as a coach, one as a player. And so, I think a stick was one of the first things to touch my hand after being born. And my sisters played a little growing up. They kind of stopped once they got to that high school age, but yeah, for me, it's been lacrosse is all I know. So I've been surrounded by it 24/7, and so I always grew up playing like CYL, for the church league basketball. And once I got to high school, I decided to pick it up and play my senior year because I always loved doing it, and I would always play with all my buddies who were, actually on the team. And I was like, you know what? It only makes me a better athlete. So I suited up and got to win a sectional championship my senior year with all my best friends leading right into lacrosse season where we got to do it again. So yeah, it was basketball and lacrosse for me, but I was always pretty all in on lacrosse. There was never really like a, yeah, I played like a year of modified football. I don't know if I'll credit myself as a football player though.
Well, speaking of lacrosse, your story starts to involve some adversity as it relates to your junior year of high school. What was happening then that was stressful? And also, how was your faith life at that same time?
Yeah, so I, really had a big jump in my athleticism and lacrosse ability throughout COVID, which is pretty weird because I honestly was, sitting around doing nothing over COVID. And then sophomore year came around, going back a little bit, and I was on varsity as a sophomore and was kind of, had not a lot of respect going into it and finagled my way into being a starter and a good contributor on the team and had a great year, and that's when college lacrosse sparked in my head. And then junior year came around and got injured a little bit in a preseason game, like a high ankle sprain. And for someone that's already kind of a mental case and overthinking, and which I know a lot of people are, it kind of just sent me down a spiral of not being able to have the confidence in myself, and when I did, it would be overwhelming anxiety. And I kind of veered away from lacrosse. I told my dad I hated it.
Whoa.
But I think I was also just a little salty. I couldn't get my groove going when I really had something special going my sophomore year. So yeah, I became very distant with the sport. I played a few club tournaments that summer and just wanted nothing to do with it. So it was a tough year mentally, and I always had the faith, but it was a matter of, am I just speaking it or am I actually believing it? You pray to God for him guiding you, but I couldn't get out of my own head in terms of, stepping onto the field. I would be tired out there. I'd be, just overthinking to the point where my body couldn't even operate in the ways I wanted it to. And
Wow.
yeah, the injury sent me back a little bit, but even bounce, I mean, it wasn't a serious injury, thankfully. I'm very grateful for that. But it just, yeah, the year just didn't bounce my way. I didn't have a good year, and it just kind of left a hole in my relationship with the sport. So.
That was junior year. Senior year of high school, you started off really hot and found a love for the game again. Tell us about that year, as well as your prayer life, and ending up in Charleston.
Yeah, so I just come off the basketball season, and it just put me in a good mindset. I was with all my best friends and had so much fun, and it kind of just made me realize that, I got 1 year, I got nothing to lose. And it was the time of, me going on college visits. I visited some lower division ones and some high division twos and some division threes, and they all just screamed to me as though they were lacrosse first and school second. Not even in terms of academics, but in terms of I'm going to go there and I'm not going to even have a college experience because there's nothing to do. You know, you go to some of those schools, those lower schools, the smaller schools, you're in the middle of nowhere. You got no college, you got no nothing. So yeah, senior year started and it was just like the basketball season. I mean, me and my buddies still talk about it. It's the most fun I had had playing the sport at that time, and I was doing it with all my best friends, and we were all balling out, playing some of the best lacrosse we ever have. And yeah, it just kind of gave me that leadership role again. You know, I was able to put my money where my mouth is and, you know, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk, and just kind of have the confidence to lead and the confidence to be myself and be confident in myself. And that was right around the college recruiting. It was the end of my college recruiting. You know, I only had so many months left to make a decision. And yeah, I made the tough decision to drop lacrosse in about March, to decide I wasn't going to play in college, and committed to the College of Charleston. My sisters both live there. You know, they're out of college. They just live down there. And I was going to spend time with them and play club. And I was convincing myself that it's what I wanted to do. And I know it's a little bit of a confusing story. It's more of I committed to the College of Charleston in March. I'll give you a little timeline here to clear it up. And then I had probably 2 months left in my season. And I just kept, you know, moving upward. I kept, you know, making big plays, being a good player for my team. And we ended up winning the sectional championship, went on to lose in the state semis. And so at this time, I had my roommate at College of Charleston. I had my housing assignment and a deposit down, whatever the payments were all made. And it was after the day after my sectional championship game, I had gotten a call from the University of Tampa, who had recruited me the last summer and then decided they were going to move forward in the transfer portal. I got a call from Ryan Sullivan, our defensive coordinator, who is good friends with my head coach at Pittsford. And he actually went to my high school some odd years ago. I'll age him a little bit. But yeah, they offered me on the spot as pretty much a, you know, they have no money, but they have a spot for me to come onto the team, but no promises. It was a no promises made. That's kind of how the programs run. It's, yeah, you can commit there, but who's to say you're not going to be on the team the rest of spring? And I just jumped on it right away. So I dropped everything from Charleston, never ended up going there, and committed to the University of Tampa without visiting. But yeah, it was one of those schools where it just was felt like the perfect fit. Obviously a winning program, and you know, it was just, I had my doubts throughout my entire senior year. Like, you know, I'm trying to convince myself, like, oh my, Charleston will be so fun. You know, you got the frat life and all that. And I've always known, and my family's always known, my friends have always known, that it's just not my life. It's not what I was, you know, I don't think I would survive rushing a fraternity. It's just never been who I was. But it was one of the things where I had to convince myself that that's what I was wanted to do. And yeah, I mean, I still have trouble believing it all worked out how it did. And yeah, that's really what sparked my faith into it throughout the whole year. You know, the decisions were, yeah, they were external, but you know, I'm praying every day, you know, just simple prayers and just prayers of, you know, guidance and clarity. And if it's meant to be, let it be, Lord, you know, all that you can. And it just ended up being far greater than I could ever possibly imagine for myself. And it sounds so cliche, you know, you hear it in Bible verses or just reading the word, and it's one of the things where you read it and you're like, yeah, I believe it when I see it. And it's just, I have no real other reason to say than it's just God's plan, and it worked out far beyond perfect. So
Yeah, I think we can all hear the Lord's hand in everything that you just described. And I just said this on a recent episode of the show, which is that expression that a lot of people will say, which is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And so here you were, Rex. Your plans were, well, I guess I'm going to go to Charleston. You know, you got your deposit in, you got everything set up to get you there. And then the Lord stepped in and said, wait, wait, wait. You didn't ask me what my plans are. Well, what are you doing going and trying to get yourself set up in Charleston? And lo and behold, it ends up with this terrific testimony that, like you said, you couldn't have even imagined it.
Yeah, exactly. Truly a blessing.
So praise God that Rex has this testimony to share with us about the Lord delivering that opportunity to him. Of course, I will also be asking him to tell us about his big performance last month in the victorious national championship game and something that happened regarding the prayer circle on the field immediately following that. But don't miss Rex having told us about the foundation that was his early Catholic education. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio, and when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over 50, 5-0, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at AllianceCatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. And please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. I am often heard ending a Catholic Sports Radio interview by asking the guest how long they and their spouse have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony. I am proud to report that last Thursday, June 18th, my wife and I celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. We still act like we're on our honeymoon and are often heard saying how blessed we are that the Lord brought us together. I will happily tell anyone that will listen what a gift she has been to me. Cheers to our milestone anniversary, although strangely, tin or aluminum is the gift for 10 years of marriage. Kind of odd, in my opinion. If you have been considering sending in your support for my ministry through a financial gift, maybe this is the occasion to do so and attach a happy 10th anniversary Bruce and Wendy note. I do ask you to prayerfully consider my efforts through Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. If you enjoy what I am doing, if you see value in this ministry, if it is helping you in your faith life, if you like this mix of faith and sports, I would ask you to prayerfully consider supporting my efforts. You can do so via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It will allow you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, and this is probably attractive to those who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail, maybe inside an anniversary card for my wife and I. And then, as you have heard me do when guests or listeners have made a gift to Catholic Sports Radio, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Rex, you were telling us about ending up here in Tampa, but I know there's some mentors that you had along the way through the journey that you've been describing for us. Tell us about who some of those folks have been.
Yeah, so coming in freshman year, I didn't really know what to expect. But one of the first things that was sent into our group team and something that we really was prevalent since the day I stepped foot on campus was the FCA group. And that was, my freshman year was led by a senior grad student named Kellen Hoke, and alongside him, Matt Basso, who's 2 years above me and graduated last year. But yeah, I mean, they took my faith to the next level, and it was, as well as our coach, Coach Bramble, he's an assistant coach, and he is very prevalent in our FCA group. And this was meetings, you know, a few times in the fall, but we always had a good group going to Sunday Mass together, you know, as much as we could, which is a lot. So we went to Sacred Heart downtown in Tampa. So it was just always something to do, and we always had that group. And, you know, when we would meet, we would share different testimonies and just really help each other grow in our Word. You know, that was kind of my first real entry into reading the Word and getting into the Bible, and they just opened so many doors of my faith. And stuff like the prayer circle after a game, it's not something you see every team do, but they made it feel so normal. So, you know, they would lead prayers, and then, yeah, this year, Matt Basso kind of passed it down to me, and, you know, it's just something that I've never taken for granted. And now, Me, there's Charlie Villa, Matt Vera, Sam Gotham, Gordy Gombold, all guys right now that are kind of filling those shoes for the new younger guys. And it's just always been such a great group on our team. And our head coach, Coach Clark, is super big into his faith as well. And it's just such a special thing to have, having that backing. It's one thing to go out there on the field and play together, but when you're bonded by the Lord, it's just so much greater, and you really do feel the difference. And I, talking to pretty much everyone on our team, I truly do, and we truly do believe that that is something that helped us, get carried over that last edge in that game in overtime. It's just, there was just not a world. It just felt right, and it was right. So, yeah, very grateful for all those guys, and still for the guys around me that, are continuing to push me and help me grow in my faith.
An audience, for those of you that don't know, Rex mentioned the acronym FCA. That's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rex, I wonder, you said earlier about education, and you said that you were not going to be guaranteed a spot on the Tampa lacrosse team. So I wonder, when you relocate 1,000+ miles away, you are really focused on, hey, I got to really compete to make this team. You do put a priority on education. How were you successful? Because you mentioned this before, that the party scene wasn't going to be your style. How do you stay disciplined to not get drawn into that and make sure you are focusing on making the team, you are focusing on studies, and you are focusing on continuing the faith? Because I think it's easy for somebody to say, this is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, you get 1,000+ miles away from mom and dad, and you go, wow, it's pretty awesome down here.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing more than the guys around me. I mean, yeah, it's college. Not saying we're perfect, but it really just was like the emphasis on how important the team is to everybody, the emphasis that our coaches and captains would put on academics, not skipping class, not doing that stuff. And for me, it was, if I keep those two things in mind, lacrosse will follow. And if it's meant to be, it's going to be. The days that didn't go my way, yeah, I probably was near tears and wanted to quit and go hug my mom thousand some odd miles away. But it was just one of the things where you just had to keep pushing, and it really was, just got to a point where you just had to tell yourself to just wake up and show up. Sometimes that's all you can do. But yeah, I've always been big on academics, and I always felt like if I'm doing everything in the classroom that I can to succeed, then just carrying that same mindset into lacrosse. And just from the faith aspect, is just constantly praying, like wake up, pray. If I'm ever find myself starting to overthink or get anxiety, just pray, just find comfort in his plan and find comfort, and whatever's meant to be will be. And I'm far from perfect at it. I have my doubts of self-doubt, and I found myself, straying away from that sometimes. But as long as I just kind of can recognize that and just realign myself, realign my heart, realign my values, and just truly believe in myself and in what he has in store for me, that was just always a recipe for success, even if stuff wasn't going my way. It's not like I showed up and started getting playing time. I didn't even travel to some away games my freshman year, and stuff like that would eat away at me. But it was just staying bought in and doing it for the love of my teammates. It's one thing to do it for yourself, but you get a lot more joy when you're doing it for other people. So
Yeah, it's great testimony and it's great advice, audience, what Rex started into that answer with, which is look at the people that you surround yourself with. So he made sure that he was surrounding himself with friends, with teammates that were going to be good classmates, that were going to help him stay focused on lacrosse, stay focused on his studies. Now, we're going to put aside the first word of this show for a minute, Catholic. We're going to focus on the second word, sports, because I was watching the broadcast. But for the audience, for this show, Rex, recap the amazing come from behind dramatic overtime victory last month that resulted in earning the right to be called national championship. What an amazing game that was.
Yeah, that game was nothing short of insane. I mean, I still have trouble thinking about it. It makes my heart rate rise and I get all sweaty. I don't like it. But I mean, it was just absolutely insane. We are and were such a battle-tested team. We went into it with one loss to an Anderson team who we ended up beating in the semifinals pretty good. And it was just, we scored the first goal of the game against Adelphi pretty early on our first possession, and it felt real good. Crowd went nuts, and it was like, all right, we got this. We can do this. And then they dumped five quick ones in on us and sucked out every last ounce of hope we could have had in the moment. You really are looking around, you're like, there's just no way that we came here and this is what happened. So, it's 5-1, you're looking around, you got to see something bounce your way. So we were able to get on the board, make 5-2, and from there it was just slowly chipping away. Went into halftime trailing by one. And I mean, Adelphi is such a good team. Their defense is stacked, their offense is stacked, led by probably one of the best players to ever play Division II lacrosse. And we just there was never an ounce of like, yeah, we went down 5-1, but you're looking around, everyone was so calm. There was no yelling from the coaches. It was just a sense of an unusual calmness, and almost to a point where it was like, all right, like what's going on here? Like, I feel like we should be in freak out mode a little bit, but it just wasn't. Like, I was looking at my attackmen, Jackson Bashaw and Eric Burbank, to see how they were, and they were just calm, and it just kept me calm. And yeah, we just kept chipping away. It was weird. We would get within one, or we would get within two, and they would answer right away to go back up two or back up three. And it was like, we just can't get over that hump, that final little hump that we need to get over. And then come the fourth quarter, Wes, our goalie, and our defense just made some incredible saves, incredible stops. Ball bounced our way a couple of times, and we were able to score, finally get some stops when we would score, stop their runs. And what was it? 10-8 became 10-9, which then became 11-9 to Delphi, and then 11-10 to us. And then Tommy Ortega tied it up, going 11-11. And I mean, I don't believe myself when I say it out loud. It's so unreal. But it went into overtime, and it's exactly where we were last year, overtime with them, which not where you want to be when you're going against Adelphi. Yeah, they got the ball off the face off, and you're just thinking like all they need is one goal, sudden death, and they're out of there, and they're national champions. And our defense had other plans and absolutely made a huge stop with a huge hit. Got the ball back and gave the ball to Tommy Ortega, and everyone else just sat and watched himself do his thing. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing like that feeling. It's unreal. Absolute insanity is what it was. It was just so awesome.
Yeah, an audience. There was also a goal scored late in the game by Adelphi that they chose to look at on replay, and they took it off the board. So just to add to the drama, it's as if Hollywood had written the script. And after the game, there was a huge prayer circle on the field. This was pretty remarkable in that here's a team, Adelphi, on the losing side that just came out on the wrong end of a game decided in overtime, the title game, and yet they stood arm in arm with Tampa Spartans players. And audience, here's the significant part. While they were all down on one knee, it was Rex Kesselring standing up, leading everyone in prayer. You started to talk about this earlier, Rex, but how did that come to be? What did you say? Just take us through that impactful moment immediately after the game on the field with your teammates and opponents all around you.
Yeah, honestly, that moment is what I was looking forward to and what I prayed for every single day throughout the entirety of the season. Last year, it was Matt Basso leading the prayer after we had just lost, and we were with Adelphi around the circle as the losing team, and that moment was just so special to me, and I genuinely prayed it every single day and just prayed to God for the opportunity to glorify His name on the biggest possible stage that I can, using the sport of lacrosse. I prayed that prayer every day in my morning prayer. And yeah, when we were up there, I usually we do that after every game with every team, and it's just, I don't know, I think I might have been a little bit blacked out at that moment, so I don't know if I can quote myself on what I said, but it's just a lot of just guidance and understanding that we play the sport for Him and to glorify Him, not for ourselves. And I think I'd be remiss to not add that, earlier that morning, it was actually at dinner the night before, Coach Clark and Coach Bramble, brought up the idea of getting a group of guys to go to mass that morning. Our game is at 4 p.m. on Sunday. And so we woke up on Sunday and we had a huge gaggle. We took two vans, I think it was, two full packed vans to the Catholic church somewhere in Charlottesville. And when we showed up, it was just a sense of community, There was a couple other, like legendary coaches that were at the mass just as guests, because they were in town for the championship weekend. But yeah, we showed up and it was just your normal, awesome community, community vibe church. And people were coming up to us saying, good luck, it's awesome what we're doing. And in no world were we going there to, showcase that, oh, look at us, we
Of
have group of
course.
guys that go to mass, we're
Of
so
course.
deserving. It was just the fact that our head coach made it a point to, give us that comfort of just keeping our, what we do every Sunday, keeping our routines the same, and just truly going to have that, hour of peace before the most stressful and biggest game of our entire lives. And it just brought a different vibe to the rest of the day. It was just calmness, and yeah, it was quite unreal. And it's pretty special what Coach Clark did there, just making sure that we were able to do that and we all got to go together. And he brought his son, and it's just always been such a special group. So
Yeah, an audience, there's two observations I want to make about what Rex just described. One of them is exactly what he just said, that Coach JB Clark decided to do this, right? Because here it is, we're about to play in the national championship game. It'd be very easy for a coach to say, we're going to have a morning shoot around, we're going to have a team breakfast, whatever it is, but not for a coach to say, we're going to go to church. So hats off to him for doing that. And the other thing is, I want to make it clear that when Rex is talking about these post-game prayer circles, like, it's not 6 or 8 or 12 guys. It is every player from both teams, which is remarkable considering that I'm sure there's non-believers out there. So for guys to stick with it with their teammates is really impressive, and it's so heartwarming that I'm sure we have evolved as Christians to where there no doubt were times when it maybe was 6 or 8 or 12 guys. And eventually it's grown into what we're seeing now. So, Rex, let's have some fun and close on a sports note. Your team had an amazing 22-1 one loss record this year, a perfect 15-0 one loss record at home, and finished the season on a 15 game winning streak. Has the preparation for next season already begun? And for that matter, what do you do for an encore?
yeah, we, I definitely took a little bit of a, a breather, dropped the stick for a little bit, just appreciated all the family and friends around me. But yeah, we just fired up our 2027 group chat today. I just made it, and we start our book, our summer book starts up next week, so we're going right into it. We'll get our workout system in here soon, and full swing. Now we got to defend it. So
Tell the audience what that means, our summer book.
yeah, so every summer our Coach Clark assigns us a book, and we break our team up into platoons. So you got the Marines, Air Force, Space Force, Army, Navy, Air Force, everything. And that's kind of like our accountability. So there's what, 10 guys in each group, say, plus or minus. And yeah, this year we're reading a book called Legacy by James Kerr. We'll have some odd number of pages assigned each week, and then we'll meet with your assigned platoon group at the end of the week and discuss the lessons that come from it. And yeah, it's just a good way to get us behind the book, because I'm not sure how many of us are doing that on our own. So
Awesome. Rex, this was amazing. Thank you ever so much. God bless you, and I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
thank you so much. It was a blessing to be here. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, it's fitting that we will close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. We haven't done this one in about 3 months. So let's pray it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I asked God for strength that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. Instead, I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praises of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. Because I am among all athletes who have been most richly blessed, you see, I lost by inches, but I won by a mile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.